content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello there, this is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from our state magazine. Today's reading of our state is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Thank you, Carter Glass. And now we return to the September 2022 edition of Our State Magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month has been Carolina horses, but we've been reading about food and places to sleep and buy things, and we're going to continue to do that right now. We're going to Blowing Rock for a twist on a classic. A Blowing Rock B&B switches things up, focusing on beverages instead of breakfasts, and paying homage to a beloved salamander found in the waters of western North Carolina. Written by Morgan Sykes, there is a delicious-looking drink here in right under the title. And why do I say it's delicious? Well, it's on a brown tabletop, on a purple napkin, and right next to the napkin is some sort of a piece of greenery. It probably is a piece of mint or basil. I haven't looked yet. And the glass has a nice little knobby feeling on the outside. It looks like a double old-fashioned glass, but I like the grip on the outside of it. It has a nice angle to it. It's filled at the top with a brown liquor and ice cubes, and most of a green leaf is sticking up very enticingly and beautifully on the top. Let's see what the caption says. Kick back on Hellbender's patio on the opposite page, where kids can play games while adults enjoy a refreshing cocktail like this bourbon and ginger beer-based Buffalo Negra. Well, it doesn't tell us what the leaf is, but at least we know it is bourbon. And there's a picture of a small outdoor patio with some kids actually playing at a table in front of a two-story building. And it says, "Welcome to Hellbender," with a picture of a salamander on a blackboard. And here on the other overleaf is a formal wooden sign with that same salamander. It says, "Hellbender, Bed and Beverage." What happens when a street-side sign in a popular North Carolina mountain town features a giant salamander with a distinctive name? "Fun," says Abby Carson, general manager of Hellbender Bed and Beverage in downtown Blowing Rock. People will say, "Hellbender? Is it a biker bar?" Or they'll come and ask, "What's a Hellbender?" They'll say, "I love Hellbenders. I saw one 20 years ago." Carson pauses and smiles. "We get a lot of good stories," she says. Take the one from local resident Brian Baldwin, who was rock hopping at the nearby Upper Boone Fork Creek with his brother several years ago when they spotted what Baldwin insists was a hellbender. The brothers had scrambled off trail to reach a swimming hole when a splash got their attention. "It was so striking," says Baldwin, who manages Foots Luggers, an outdoor outfitter just around the corner from Hellbender B&B. "My brother was like, 'Did you see that?' It was a brick-colored thing, about as big as around as my arm. This was not a fish. It had a tail. It was almost 2 feet long, like a giant lizard." And I'm going to stop reading at this moment because there's a picture down below of somebody holding one of these things in their hands. And it says, "In Hellbender's bar opposite, locals and visitors are apt to be swapping tall tales over drinks about the giant Hellbender salamanders that they may or may not have spotted in the waters around Blowing Rock. But this is the largest salamander I've ever seen in this person's hand, so we shall read some more about it, hopefully." Carson delights in hearing her guests at Hellbender tell such big fish, or rather big bender, stories. The B&B has a long history of serving as a gathering spot where both locals and visitors can relax, drink a few beers, and swap adventure yarns. Much like real Hellbenders, which have evolved little over the past 150 million years, Hellbender B&B has stayed true to its centuries-old tradition of hospitality within its walls. The building that this decidedly modern B&B occupies turns 101 this year, says Carson, who's sitting at a corner table amid decor that complements the inn's rich history. Lots of hewn wood, metalwork, and warm lighting. By the 1940s, it was Sunshine Inn with bright yellow paint. During that period, the front porch had rocking chairs, and the inn was known for serving hearty breakfasts and comfort foods like fried chicken. An overnight stay back then would set guests back $2.50. More recently, from 1994 to 2013, the place was occupied by Crippen's Country Inn and Restaurant, widely acclaimed for its fine dining dishes and owner Jimmy Crippen's Get to Be North Carolina competition dining series. It became Hellbender in 2020 when the Milner family, who owns the property, recruited Carson, a local who grew up on a Christmas tree farm and attended high school with his son, to oversee a new kind of B&B. So, why call Hellbender a bed and beverage instead of a more common bed and breakfast? That was our idea for a fun twist on the traditional, Carson says, explaining that the owners wanted to avoid getting locked into serving full breakfasts, instead allowing for creative cocktails, wine and beer, and more modern food offerings. Hellbender has a youthful feel, a lean, dynamic menu that features breakfast smoothies and scrumptious flaky biscuits. They are perfect to grab and savor on the way out to hike areas like Glen Burnie Trail off Laurel Lane, which is within walking distance of the inn. Lunch and dinner consists of unfussy crowd pleasers, hamburgers, a fried chicken sandwich, and mac and cheese for those on afternoon jaunts around the downtown area's boutiques, souvenir shops, art galleries, and museums. At night, the menu of craft cocktails and beers gets a chance to shine on Hellbender's softly lit patio or inside its rustic, romantic bar. The B&B's full-service restaurant and bar are located at the ground level. Overnight accommodations are upstairs, where guests can choose from 8 family-friendly rooms, 5 of which are also pet-friendly, with king beds, private bathrooms, and tasteful modern decor and colors that subtly reflect this laid-back mountain town's surroundings. One room even has a hammock for lounging, hung in a sunny alcove overlooking the patio. Guests have told Carson stories about how they stopped by at 239 Sunset Drive every summer just to check it out. Some have gotten engaged on the patio. One man said that his grandparents owned the inn many years ago, and he pointed to the window that he and a cousin would use to slip out at night and play on the roof. Nighttime is when both the B&B and its namesake prehistoric creatures come alive, Carson says. She notes that the name was not just an attempt to get a really cute logo on the sign. It was also chosen to bring attention to this beleaguered local salamander. North Carolina's Hellbenders are not on the endangered species list anymore, Carson says, but they're right on the edge. Back inside Hellbender, the restaurant is in a lull after the lunch rush. Customers have cleared out, and a few staffers have gathered in the dining room comparing Hellbender experiences. Everyone, it seems, knows someone who's seen one, but there are few first-hand sightings. Although Baldwin says that she can't be entirely sure of what he saw during that long-ago hike with his brother, he knows what it wasn't. It's easy to say that it could have been a lot of things, he says, hedging, but this was not a fish or a mammal, and it was huge. Despite growing up in nearby Boone and having a deep familiarity with the Watauga River, Carson says she's never seen a Hellbender herself. But 2 years into running the B&B, she feels like she has. I've had so many locals tell me about this one Hellbender that has several hooks in it from catch and release, she says. I can't remember the exact spot on the Watauga, but people have said, yeah, I saw one last year when I was fishing. He had 4 hooks in his mouth, so it has to be the same one. She likes that image, a resilient salamander hell-bent on survival, its mouth studded with hooks, leaving adventurers with a good story to tell to new friends over beers at Hellbender. Hellbender Bed and Breakfast is on Sunset Drive in Blowing Rock. Speaking of Blowing Rock, in the neighborhood downtown Blowing Rock, this mountain oasis is the perfect weekend getaway during any time of the year with its easily walkable downtown area, excellent bars and restaurants, and seemingly endless supply of art and crafts. You can eat at Café Violette. Chef Kyle Martin's French and Mediterranean-inspired menu changes with the seasons and generally includes steak, pasta, and seafood dishes like moule au pasta, mussels in pastis sauce, or pan-seared octopus. For dessert, try the pâtisserie au pêche with roasted peaches, puff pastry, mascarpone cream, basil ice cream, and candied pine nuts. I'm in. And they're at Main Street, CafeVioletteBR.com. Blowing Rock Ale House. Blowing Rock Brewing Company's Ale House, the town's first microbrewery, features 15 regular taps alongside small batch specialty flavors. Pair your brew with a locally raised bison burger and hand-cut chips. Locals also recommend the soft-baked pretzels, served with Kentucky-style beer cheese and Lusty Monk mustard, made in Candler. With a cozy, cabin-like atmosphere and dog-friendly outdoor seating, the alehouse is a popular hangout after a day of hiking or sightseeing on the Blue Ridge Parkway. They're on Sunset Drive, BlowingRockBrewing.com. More to drink? Bald Guy Brew. Don Cox, the eponymous bald guy, was given his nickname by school kids in McKeesport, Pennsylvania in 2003. He roasted coffee for a PTA sale at an inner-city school there, raising money to buy bikes for students. These days, he serves espressos to fellow coffee aficionados, and he still hosts local fundraisers every year. Try the Café Latte, made with milk sourced from right down the road, or the Café Cubano, sweetened with organic cane sugar. They're on Main Street, baldguybrew.com. How about shopping at Blowing Rock Antiques? This antique store specializes in European imports and 18th and 19th century items. Browse a selection of English and continental antiques, including furniture, dinnerware, artwork, and taxidermy. With treasures hidden in every nook and cranny, it often takes an hour or two just to see everything. They're on Sunset Drive, and they're on Instagram as HandAntiques2018. Another place, another place to shop is Unwound Yarn. When owner Colleen Tabor purchased Unwound Yarn in 2015, she barely knew how to knit a single stitch. Today, the shop serves as a gathering place for yarnies in Blowing Rock and sells handmade wearables and knitting supplies. Customers are often greeted by the store's mascot, miniature dachshund Elizabeth, or as regulars have christened her, the Welcome Weenie. They're on Main Street, unwoundyarn.com. Final touches. Susan and Agapaios Vrikas, who opened Final Touches more than 20 years ago, traveled to Mexico to select the handcrafted home and garden items sold in their store. They also specialize in Telavera pottery, including dishware, accessories, and art. They're on Main Street, and they're on Facebook as Final Touches NC. There's a picture of Blowing Rock Antiques. They have a lot of plants in pots here, big pots. It says among the wide variety of interesting finds at Blowing Rock Antiques are garden pieces like tables, planters, and live topiaries. New article, Raleigh, the old house on the hill. When a curious couple stepped inside a mysterious rundown mansion overlooking Raleigh's Boylan Heights neighborhood, they saw the perfect setting for a relaxing escape from the chaos of modern life. Written by Vanessa Infanzon. Picture of the sort of a gray brick front two-story building. It has a arched front doorway, although the door itself is not arched. It's a double door and does have little arched windows in it, and then an arch over the top. Up above, there's another arched window, triple window, actually, with a little bit of a balcony. But I think it's a fake balcony. I don't think you can actually get out to it. And there's a couple of chimneys up at the top, beautiful trees on either side, a long red brick front entranceway with a planter right in the middle. You have to shift your direction a little bit, which is kind of interesting because I don't think it wouldn't matter. A wheelchair couldn't get up those front stairs, but it's a little bit narrow to go on either side of that planter there. But there's a couple of seats off to the side that you can sit on right there, and this space on the porch, which has double columns on each side. It says, once visitors enter the grand front door of the 10,000-square-foot Heights House in Raleigh, they find themselves in the foyer, surrounded by four Italianate pillars and one of the earliest painted glass skylights in the capital city. We do not see the skylight. We just see the light from the skylight. The dilapidated mansion on Boylan Avenue had long caught Sari Kuntz's eye during her daily commutes into Raleigh's warehouse district. When she started dating Jeff Shepard, she made sure that the two would stroll by it together. She wanted to gauge whether what he saw in this old house, if he saw the same thing she did. One day, they decided to take a look inside. The path to the front door was blocked by overgrown shrubs and poison ivy, so the two walked around to the rear of the house, swatting away mosquitoes. They saw vines winding their way into the structure through gaps in the window frames. Behind the house, rickety wood stairs led to the back door. Once inside, Sarah and Jeff could see beyond the decay. The prominent architectural details, despite years of neglect, took their breath away. 15-foot-high ceilings lined with crown moldings, wood knot detailing embedded into original hardwood floors, four fluted columns with intricate carvings that drew their eyes to the cupola some 40 feet above the foyer. There, a painted glass dome skylight glowed, each section shaped like the petal of a flower. This grand mansion, situated on a one-acre lot, sat at the highest point in the neighborhood with views of Boylan Bridge. As Sarah looked around at its magnificence, she recalls, "I saw the house coming to life." In 2021, several years, one wedding, and lots of elbow grease later, Sarah and Jeff Shepard opened Heights House Hotel. These days, the once dusty old mansion features 9 luxury en-suite rooms, 5 of them original and 4 added on. And Sarah has since researched the house's history. "I got very curious," she says. "There wasn't a lot known about it, what it was, what it used to be." Heights House Hotel began life as Monfort Hall, completed in 1860 on a sprawling 100 acres owned by William Monfort Boylan, son of the editor of the 19th-century Raleigh newspaper Minerva. The younger Boylan, known as Buck, had lavish tastes. He commissioned architect William Percival, who designed the home in the Italianate style, characterized by intricate columns, cupolas, decorative woodwork, and arched windows. Percival also designed Raleigh's massive Gothic Revival-style First Baptist Church on Salisbury Street. Buck was known to host big soirees and hunting parties on the grounds of Monfort Hall. Then, in the early 1900s, not long after Buck's death, the Greater Raleigh Land Company purchased the property and subdivided it into one of the city's earliest suburbs, Boylan Heights. Over the next 50 years, the house was bought and sold several times. In the 1950s, it even served for a period as Boylan Heights Baptist Church. Incongruous additions were made to the mansion over the decades as the neighborhood fell out of favor. And by 1978, when John and Margaret Jadwick bought the place, it was hardly recognizable. The Jadwicks made some renovations to the house, but the property eventually fell back into disrepair. And that was its condition on the fateful day when Sarah and Jeff stepped through its doors. They were determined to make things right again. During their walks together, the couple often found themselves visiting Holder Goods and Crafts on West South Street. When they began making plans to purchase and restore the home, they asked the shop's owner at the time, Brian Costello, an interior and arts director, if he'd like to join them. Costello was intrigued. "It was known as the House on the Hill," he says of the old mansion. "It had this kind of mystery. We'd ride by it all the time. It's like nothing else in the neighborhood." As he began his work on the house, Costello was mindful of how its original components would interact with new ones. I had this look that I'd established already in my shop, that it was textual, atmospheric, and romantic, all the things that make a small hotel great, he says. The renovation team stripped bare the layers of paint on the front doors, leaving a shadow of the original color and honoring the weathered look of the entrance. Throughout the hotel, two themes play out in Costello's design theory. He was able to blend time by using different shapes and textures from various decades. Curves and arches, mirrors and niches combined with newer, softer materials in colors, solid colors. You're almost completely free to blend all this modern with the old, he says, because your continuity is found in the architecture of the house. Costello flipped the traditional theory of applying dark colors in large rooms and light colors in tight spaces to create an atmosphere of openness and intimacy. The drawing room and the dining room are light and bright, while a slightly smaller library and parlor are darker and richer in color. In Height's house, the smaller the space, the darker the color, he says. It's a pretty cool thing to see as you move through the house. It gives you the sense of compression and expansion. On the way to breakfast one recent morning, a guest looks up at the hotel's 8-foot-tall 1920s French chandelier. Her hand glides along the smooth wooden banister as she makes her way down the stairs. She lingers in the library, and a horse sculpture, one of many objects found on the wall-to-wall bookcases, catches her eye. Behind the statue, a book called Worth and Wealth, published in the era when the house was built, stands out, perhaps acknowledging the home's original owner. Morning light pours in through the arched window of the dining room. Other guests quietly gather breakfast laid out on a sideboard for self-service. A Salvador Dali lithograph hangs above the spread of fresh fruit and yogurt. The pastries come from bolted bread, a nod to Sarah and Jeff's earlier courtship, when they'd stop by the bakery on their walks through the neighborhood. Before long, guests settle in and conversations about the day ahead begin. This is one of Sarah's favorite times of day. I feel calmness and pride when I see people gathering and enjoying a space that I poured so much love and energy into, she says. It's very special to see. Heights House Hotel is on South Boylan Avenue, heightshousenc.com. And if you're in the neighborhood, Boylan Heights and around. Like Sarah and Jeff Shepard, who spent their courtship taking relaxing walks in Boylan Heights to downtown Raleigh's Warehouse District, visitors to the Shepherd's House Hotel may also find a stroll to nearby shops and restaurants rewarding. And here's a couple with a dog walking in front of Y Hill, that's W-Y-E, maybe it's pronounced we, I don't know, with some tall Raleigh skyscrapers in the background. I do not know where that is taken. The picture says, refuel after a day of exploring with drinks and light pub fare at Y Hill Kitchen and Brewing, or State of Beer, shown below. Well, actually, State of Beer shows a picture of a bottle of wine, but that's okay. You can eat at Bolted Bread. Every day, the team at Bolted Bread stone mills flour and mixes dough to create fresh baguettes and leavening loaves. Croissants and morning buns and doughy pinwheels with jam filling the bakery with a warm aroma. They're on West South Street. Bolted Bread, that's B-O-U-L-T-E-D, bread.com. State of Beer at the downtown Raleigh location of Trophy Brewing Company. Gourmet sandwiches and salads made from scratch pair well with one of the 12 beers on tap or with beer, wine, soda, or seltzer from the bottle shop. They're on Hillsborough Street, trophybeer.com/state-of-beer. Why Hill Kitchen and Brewing? Named for a type of railroad junction, this restaurant and brewery overlooks the Raleigh skyline on the Y. Again, or maybe it's we, I don't know. I'm going to guess why. By the Boylan Bridge. On the patio and in the sleek tap room, customers make memories over chef-driven bar food and craft beer made in-house with locally sourced grain. South Boylan Avenue, yhill.com. Here's an ad, a little girl holding up a couple of big suckers there. It says, ever been a kid in a candy store? Literally or figuratively, find yourself here. Virginia is for lovers, Patrick County, Virginia. Here's a sign for CAM, City, Contemporary Art Museum. It's in great big yellow letters. The A is very stylistic. The bar in the A is not in the middle. It's down at the bottom for some reason. And the word CAM sits on a low-rise stone or brick fence in front of the building, which has quite a steeply sloped roof. Well, not terribly steeply sloped roof, but I think you can actually see through that roof. Built in 1910, the structure now occupied by the Raleigh's Contemporary Art Museum once served as a warehouse for a welding company. You can shop in Hartwell or at Hartwell. Caitlin Ward revamped her late grandfather's business, M.H.'s Grosseteria, into a shopping and event space. Local vendors and makers sell jewelry, home goods, arts, accessory, and more at 620 West South Street. HartwellRaleigh.com. How about Liz Kelly Pottery? Artist Liz Kelly is inspired by a combination of traditional and modern techniques for small batch pottery. The end products are beautifully handcrafted pieces that are often functional too, including dinner sets, cups, and mugs. Her gallery is open by appointment, 1201 West Lenore Street, LizKellyPottery.com. Raleigh Vintage. Sustainable second-hand shopping is fashionable and modern at Raleigh Vintage. A stroll through the racks is like being in a designer time capsule, and each piece, like groovy Puccini prints, 1970s Gucci purses, Edwardian white lace dresses, and gossamer Indian cotton maxi dresses has a story. They're at 18 Glenwood Avenue, RaleighVintage.com. Do you want to play? Boylan Bridge, stretching over railroad tracks and creating a stunning lookout. The Boylan Bridge provides one of the best views of Raleigh's skyline. It is also one of the city's most recognizable historical landmarks, having changed with the railroads over the time above the Boylan Y, where the CSX and the North Carolina Railroads meet there on South Boylan Avenue. And CAM Raleigh, which I mentioned a moment ago, open on weekends and free to the public. The Contemporary Art Museum displays an array of exhibitions created by living artists. After exploring the museum, head to Dorothea Dix Park, where three triangular structures compose public art for pollinators and people, a structure created by Courtney Evans of Tactile Workshop in collaboration with CAM. Impressive as both art and with a beehive inside a pollinator habitat. They are on West Martin Street, camraleigh.org. And we don't have time for the next full article, so I'll just mention that Vance Young team is a broker realtor who might like your business. Intracoastal Realty Corporation. Let's see, where are they located? It must be down in the Intracoastal Waterway someway. It's a 910 number. Doesn't say where they're located, but I imagine it's down there in the Washington area. So, that is about all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine, and I hope you enjoyed it so much that you'll come back again next week. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, so you can listen to it anytime, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.